How are we going to work as a team? And how am I going to influence you to do what you're asked by feeling empowered to do it, not by being forced to do it? Because strong-willed kids, especially, if they feel like they are being pressured or forced, or if there is any type of unfair concept in their head, they will push back.
Family life is essential. Jim and I are on a mission to help you live the best one. You'll hear personal stories from thought leaders of strengths and struggles with proven strategies to help you make the most of your 18 summers. I'm your co-host, Jamie Shields.
How did you hear about us? Or I know you reached out to us, right? I'm trying to remember how we got connected, but I do know when you came across my email, I was excited to connect with you.
Yes. Well, I think one of my students had tipped me onto your guys' work. And when I just checked out what you were doing, I was like, oh my gosh, this looks amazing. Anything that's based in connection and quality time and just relationship-based parenting is right up my alley. So I'm pretty sure it was a student who said they're doing great things. And that's how I found you guys. I'm pretty sure if my memory serves right.
And now when you say a student, what are they learning from you?
For sure, family. We have a worldwide membership program where we do positive parenting, education, curriculum, family life coaching. So families who work with us, a lot of them are really learning to break honestly painful generational cycles, fear, force, disconnection, stress, like using fear and intimidation to influence kids. A lot of families are learning to become responsive versus reactive in their parenting walk. They're learning to use compassionate discipline versus punishment. They're learning to really figure out how to influence. Many of our families that we work with have strong-willed kids, which is kind of my specialty. Love these beautiful kids. And holy smokes, are they a lot to raise, right? I'm sure maybe in your guys' bunch, there might be one, right? Like there's always one.
Or several.
But a lot of families find us when what they're doing is not working because strong-willed kids have a tendency to just really resist at a higher degree, especially a lot of the hand-me-down parenting tactics that are based in the fear and force stuff. Strong-willed kids are just wonderful at raising the red flag and saying, hey, this isn't really the way humans were supposed to influence each other. So families in our programs called the Fresh Start Experience are learning to influence instead of force. They're learning to use like true power and relationship and connection and kindness versus just make their kids comply or become obedient out of fear and force and intimidation. So we do a lot.
In the beginning of that reference of generational, those things in which we bring in from our past or what was done before that somehow maybe we didn't even want to become, but then like we just did. You know, like you said, you're totally fine, best parent on the planet. Then you have a strong-willed child and you're like, because I said so, things happen. Can you talk a little bit about, can you just describe for us, and I think you did a bit, some of these generational patterns that show up and maybe why they show up? Do they show up like when we're wanting to do our best, but we don't do our best? What do you see as some patterns with that?
Yeah, well, you mentioned that like it surprises so many of us, and that was my story. So I feel like growing up, standard, like middle income family, my parents did the best they could with the tools that they had, right? Like so many of our parents did. But it was a standard autocratic home where they're, if you want a kid to listen, you can count on if you scare them a little or at least make them scared of a consequence, like that's how you get people to do what you want, right? Like it's essentially autocratic parenting is a fear and force model. I'm fine. I grew up fine, right? And then I got blessed with a little strong-willed girl. And so I fell in love really young. We got very lucky. My husband and I have been together 26 years now. Marriage felt easy. College and work and finding a career that I loved felt somewhat easy. It was hard work, but it was kind of that, it's like you put your head down, you work hard and you reap the benefits. And then when we got this beautiful strong-willed little girl and she hit toddlerhood, you could really feel her strong will from birth. But once she hit toddlerhood, it was like, holy smokes. Like I was at the bottom. Like I was like, who have I become? And I was trying all the standard stuff, right? Like if you just put them in timeout enough, or so many people were just telling me to figure out how to spank her right so she would behave. And it was just so confusing. And I had become very reactive. I had become very frustrated and irritated and really kind of at my wit's end and just not understanding why it wasn't working, because I felt like I was a really kind, wise, smart individual who had also always been good with kids. So like I taught springboard diving. I was a nanny in college. Like how in the world could I be like telling a kid just to put on her shoes? And she's like, no, or to stop shaking the baby and she shakes him harder or whatever it may be. Like, it was just so confusing. So that was the first kind of red flag for me, was that inside of my heart and my body, something didn't feel right. Like the way I was seeing my little girl, the way I was treating her, the way I was talking to her, all the standard advice I was getting at the time didn't sit well and it didn't work. And then when I got invited to learn these concepts, positive parenting, whatever you want to call it, firm, kind, connected, relationship-based parenting, that's when everything changed. And so I just started to realize that A, nothing was wrong with her. Nothing was wrong with me. She was given this beautiful personality and really gift, this strong will for a reason. And if I just changed the way I communicated, the way I worked with her, the way I spoke to her, the way I disciplined her, she responded so much better. And so that's kind of how it started. And then just fell in love with it and knew I had to teach families. I kind of always wanted to preach it from the mountaintop, so to speak. So everyone at least knew they were at choice. I think a lot of people, before they learn this stuff, you feel like you get the hand-me-down parenting tactics. Like, no one really needs to teach you how to put a kid in timeout or threaten to take away their iPad or whatever. But most of us were not taught how to show compassion and set a firm limit. Most of us weren't shown and taught how do you process anger in a healthy way without intimidating and getting aggressive, or how do you seek to understand and trust the integrity in a human that is not acting the way you want them to. Like, all these things are, in my experience with students that I serve, are things that we're learning as adults. And now with our children, they have like a one up, right? Like, when they grow up, they're not going to have to learn this stuff in their third, fourth decade of life. They're going to learn it from a very young age, like emotional literacy, influencing others versus overpowering, like all this kind of stuff. And it's just really powerful.
Isn't that amazing? And I see it totally flows into your other relationships. When you say, like, I know that the more I become deepened in what I learn in a Waldorf education or a Montessori education, I know that the less I have mom guilt, because the more I'm showing up in other areas and more of who I like to be, and also in my relationship with my husband. So there tends to be less struggle within myself. So then there's less struggle exteriorly with not only my children, but all in other relationships. And I think it's because I can kind of decompress and like you're saying, just really learn how to respond instead of react. And it goes really for all members in the household. And that's what's so cool, is you can heal down and then you can also heal up, like my relationship with my mom or my siblings as well. Yeah.
Would that be the starting point for you? You have this, I'm sure all the listeners are, oh my gosh, let's get back to your spirited little girl. Cause we have that. I'm not,
we have a few of those.
Crazy. We have them. And I know our listeners.
Start to our girls too. I mean, they're all wild, but our two girls are, well, one's like
very
hyper-focused. The other one's just like,
everyone's always looking for a starting point. Was that the starting point? You're saying, I have to learn to respond and not react? Or was there more of a real stepping stone in the right direction that it might?
Like a smaller step.
Yeah, like a smaller step just to start getting people in the right direction.
Well, I think inside of what I teach, I always start people where I started. And that was simply to like change the paradigm. So that, like, the classic like cultural conditioning is that something's wrong with a kid if they're acting out. So like the classic conditioning or classic paradigm is a misbehaving child equals a bad parent. Like, if your kid isn't in check, like, you're doing something wrong. If your kid is misbehaving, they're being bad, they're being naughty, they're being disobedient, they're lazy, they're entitled, they're purposely pushing your buttons, or something's wrong with them. Like, that was where I was with Stella, where I was like, I had her at doctors. I mean, I Googled some crazy stuff. I'm not proud of it, but I like Googled exorcism once. I was like, what if she's possessed, Harry? Like, literally. Yeah. ODD, ADHD, bipolar. I was like, if someone can just tell me something's wrong with her. And then there's all the internal thoughts of like, well, there must be something wrong with me. Those aren't ones you speak to often, because of course people see you at the grocery store and they're like, how are you doing? And you're like, I'm good. I'm a little tired. But really inside you want to be like, I'm a mess. Like, this is horrible. My kid's flipping out all day. Like, you don't want to see what's going on behind closed doors. And inside is like, what is wrong with me? I should know what to do. Something's got to be wrong with me. So I think for me, Jim, the initial thing was learning, having someone teach me to change my paradigm and just understand that actual God-honest truth and like psychology proven truth about human behavior, like human beings in general, whether they're big like us or small, is everyone has needs. A misbehaving child equals a communicating child, and that equals parents who can become empowered to solve conflicts peacefully and with integrity and dignity and firm kindness. And they give us plenty of opportunities. So that is always a starting point. Like if I have a client come in, I just coached someone this morning and she was like, help me figure out what to do with my kid. Like she won't listen. She doesn't want to be helpful. And like she doesn't contribute because she just wants to be lazy. So that's a classic example of a parent, like being stuck in a paradigm that if you're seeing the problem like that, you're blaming, you're not taking any responsibility for your own like communication, the way you're speaking to that child, it's just going to jack you up. It's going to keep you stuck in a cycle where you're like, you're the problem and I need to make you change. And so that is the starting point, is realizing, okay, you just probably got a strong-willed kid. Like the student I coached this morning, I asked her in the beginning, I was like, so do you feel like she's a power kid? It was actually a grandma, Nani. And she goes, no, she's not really my strong-willed kid. As we went on, it was like, yes, she is. She pushes back. She's the one who says no the most. She doesn't like to be told what to do. And those are the kids that really, like, they'll send, in my experience, it sends parents into a little bit of a spiral because they're like, what is wrong with you? Why can't you just listen? And you can go down that route. You can go down that route and you just have to like really learn how to escalate your fear and force and power over. And in my opinion, it's a really hard way to live. Instead, you can go down the route of like, all right, I have to up level to learn how to inspire this little human being who wants to be in charge just as much as I am. I do. I want to inspire them to be part of the team. How do I influence them? How do I give them power in the moment? And also like expect the contribution or stick firm to the rule or whatever it may be. And so it's paradigm shifting. And then, yeah, it comes down to communication, changing your communication, starting to speak to them differently, especially if it's a power kid. So those are just kind of some ideas, Jim, of where I started.
I mean, paradigm shift is absolutely huge. And that's something everyone can do. And it's not easy until you actually realize you have a paradigm. Like, oh yeah, I am looking at this lens. I know ours was more, I guess, a paradigm or an expectation. There was one that kept coming to us from people we were working with, and they would say, I want to have the perfect family life. I wouldn't know how to help you there. I have no clue. I didn't think family life was about perfection. So we're not the right ones to come to. But even that of just saying, well, this is normal. This is a good thing. There's strength in this challenging kid. We're supposed to guide this and harness it, not kill it.
Well, what I think is interesting, I always thought my first one was a strong-willed child. And then I had my second one and it was definitely a strong-willed child. And now our fifth one, we're like, oh my gosh, the beach this morning. Like, she cannot be diverted from that. But what's really cool, and I was trying to search the author because it's leaving me, but we saw her speak twice and she spoke about viewing strong-willed as grit. Instead, I think if we change the word strong-willed to grit or determination, then these are the words we use with Olympians. These are words that we use with people that accomplish really great, amazing things. That's one of my top characteristics that Jim and I are both proud of ourselves. It's like, wow, I've got tenacity. I've got grit. I've got resilience. And these are all the things that these children that we struggle up against, and our second one, the one that actually was a strong one, man, he's a rock star. He's still a strong-willed kid. And you have to know when to push the line and when to give a little, because he's going to stand there and you got to make sure. Well, that, you know, and it's just really cool to view it from a different lens.
Did I see that? Is it your oldest two that you're talking about, or one of the oldest two?
Yeah. Our second oldest.
Did he become an entrepreneur? Is he an entrepreneur? Did I read that? Yeah.
Both of our sons have their own businesses. Yeah,
exactly. So that's the thing, right? Like the strong-willed kids have such unique gifts and they are the risk takers. They're the ones that are gutsy and valiant. And when they're little, it's a pain in the butt, right? Like the words we just use to describe when they're little is like demanding, insistent, stubborn, bossy, cocky, difficult, challenging, fixated, rebellious, defiant. But then you look at like the really amazing entrepreneurs like you guys and like amazing leaders in the world. And we use different words to describe them, but they're the same: decisive, determined, persistent, authoritative, confident, valiant, gutsy, committed, resourceful, non-conforming, and bold. And those of us who are entrepreneurs, like, holy smoke, you cannot be like, I'm sure there are easygoing, entrepreneurs who just go with the flow. But most of the time, like, it takes an incredible amount of determination and courage. And these are the kids that most likely to be the change makers of the world, right? Like, everyone has this unique place in the world, but the strong-willed kids, they do have these very unique gifts. And a lot of the times they are broken out of them and at least shamed out of them. Like, a lot of strong-willed kids grow up with, like, they may seem super confident on the outside, but on the inside, they have such low confidence and, like, deep levels of shame. So we get to do it different and just teach these kids, like, there's nothing wrong with you. And this morning was a mess. Like, let's figure out how we can make different tomorrow different. Or you do need to sit and eat something, right? Like, there's so many strategies we teach on, like, how you rope these kids, you wrangle them into, like, being contributing members of society, especially when they're little, but then they prosper. They start to develop intrinsic motivation and control skills instead of, like, needing to be controlled. Like, when you teach them in this way, they develop the ability to, like, control themselves and have emotional literacy and fill their need to feel powerful bucket without misbehaving, which is the key ticket.
And is that how you eliminate the power struggles as well? Like, what would a top tip to kind of, because that's really when it happens, right? I know your, like, parenting default, isn't that nice of me? I'm just going to call you out instead of myself here. Can you?
Let's do it.
You have to call me out as well. But so I think the first thing that came to my mind when we were talking about, like, that programming was, and you're so much farther along than this, but at some one point in time, you used to say a lot, well, it's way better than what I had.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Or yeah. I only knew what I had to deal with. Either my dad would have never. There was a lot of that, even though it wasn't, like, probably your ideal or my ideal. It was still like, oh, but it's better than.
Benchmarking. Yeah.
It was some kind of a benchmark. And, like, how do we take, like, I guess that mentality to, like, a first step of, okay, instead of telling you how lucky you are, where could I actually reflect and, like, decrease the power struggle instead of trying to elevate myself?
Yeah. We'll talk power struggles in a second. But when you tell me that, that's some of your things that you've said, I'm like, I just want to make you right. I'm like, yeah, you're doing a great job. You're doing a great job. You are doing things differently. And, like, in those moments when you're like, man, you should have seen what I grew up with, or you would have never had this. Like, yeah, we can work on, like, the way you're communicating to your kid, but just, like, honoring yourself and knowing, like, how much work you have done to get to a place where you're not handling the challenges in the same way, where you do have the ability to, like, really have these relationships with these kids instead of just expecting obedience or whatever it may be, right? Like, whatever is different. But I just kind of go to that, like, instead of beating yourself up for saying those things, of course, we want to communicate with our kids in a different way so they'll actually put the dishes in the dishwasher or help with their little sister, whatever. Like, our goal is to have our kids be contributing valuable members of our family. And so that communication's probably just not working for you in that moment to influence them. And I would just have so much compassion for yourself that what you're trying to actually say is, like, I've done a really great job and I'm still learning, right? Like, I've done a lot of work. I'm committed to raising my family the way that feels right for me and that builds life and joy and light into my children and us as a family. And I'm still working on it. So right now, and I just want you to put your freaking shoes on, right? Whatever it may be. But then when you go into the power struggle stuff, but the thing is, like, the tone and the, like, why can't you just see how good you have it? Like, all that kind of stuff. We know it doesn't really work to, like, actually influence them to do what we want. It may work sometimes in the moment, and they're going to be responding out of, like, guilt or shame, right? Like, we're saying to them, why can't you just be easier? Why can't you be more thankful? Which is essentially saying you're ungrateful, which is a version of, like, I feel hurt, which I teach a lot about emotional literacy, and we get to process hurt on our own. It's not something we have to make our kids fix. But anyways, when you go to power struggles, it's like, okay, well, what is the task at hand? And how am I going to get this little person who wants to feel powerful in the moment, just like I want to feel powerful in the moment? How are we going to work as a team? And how am I going to influence you to do what you're asked by feeling empowered to do it, not by being forced to do it? Because strong-willed kids, especially if they feel like they are being pressured or forced, or if there is any type of unfair concept in their head, because they have very big justice buttons, they will push back. They will revolt in an argument. Then you're leaning towards the, like, now you're going to have to escalate into the threat, right? Which is like the if then statement. If you don't do what I said, then I'll take away this. If you do this, then you will have this happen to you. And instead, like, just a few ideas are, like, compliance statements are kind of death for strong-willed kids. So a compliance statement is just do this, right? We always say that kids in elementary school ages, they get up to 1,000 compliance statements a day. Get up, put your shoes on, eat your breakfast, stand up, say the pledge, sit down, hang up your jacket. And so by the time they get home, they're just like, if somebody gives, another person gives me a compliance statement and you ask them just to put their shoes like away in the closet and they're like, no. So a simple switch from compliance statements is just empowering them with a choice. Now, I know everybody thinks choices is like parenting 101, but when you really look at your day to day and you start to catch yourself when you're giving compliance statements and instead just give them an option, like, do you want to do it now or in 5 minutes? Do you want to really little ones? Do you want to do it fast like a cheetah or really fast like a racehorse? Do you, and older kids, like, do you want to do it on your own or do you want me to help you? With older kids with like chores, it's like, if my kids are like, wah, wah, about doing like the dishes, I'll be like, okay, well, you can take the trash out and I'm happy to load the dishwasher. Which one do you want to choose? And they're always like, oh, fine, I'll just keep doing the dishes, whatever it may be. But you're empowering them in the moment, but you're not letting them off the hook of getting the task done. You're just operating as a team and you're honoring their crazy desire to feel powerful because, again, they are the future leaders. Like, they thrive when they have some sense of power in their lives. And we can bake that in all day long, even amidst conflict. But choices is just one way. We teach like a lot of different strategies that are very tactical with what you say and also what you do that are along those lines.
I'm loving this. And this is stuff that, like, I remember.
Notes. Jamie's a note taker. So if you see her leaning over, yeah, she's doing
notes. I love it.
This is almost 20. And I remember the first time I heard the whole idea of like giving choices. I remember thinking, wow, that's so simple. But how helpful is that? Like, or even some language that I use with one of our, like, if it's not that important, you can make it a choice to do the thing. So what was the other day on the four-wheeler? We were going somewhere with Sammy.
Oh, what was that? No, yeah, we gave a choice. I'm trying to remember.
It was about shoes. I didn't know if you wanted to tell the story.
Oh, Jamie said we were driving on the four-wheeler and she said, I would recommend.
Sammy got on the four-wheeler without shoes. And you said.
I said, she said, my mom said she would recommend I wear shoes. But I think he said, I don't really agree with that recommendation.
Like, he was just like, she suggested.
I was suggesting it.
But it wasn't required.
Wasn't required. And I don't.
Yeah.
But I didn't really agree with the suggestion. There's something funny. Oh, like,
how I love that. But that's not a choice, just so you know. If you want that kid to wear shoes, that's not a choice that you're giving. But in that moment, you might have been like, whatever, I don't really care. You can do what you want. I'd recommend it. But if you don't. But in the moment you care, you don't give that choice. Right. You see the difference?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Because I remember I was like, I do want him to wear shoes. Do I want him to wear shoes enough to be like, find your shoes or you're not leaving?
Or there's another option that's like, hey, dude, it's really important to me that you wear shoes because I don't want you to get bitten by a snake or step on an anthill. So you can either wear your Crocs or you can put on shoes and socks, like, up to you. I just need you. Or you can wait till later when you're in the, like, something, but it doesn't have to be either nothing, which is okay, fine. Like, you do it, or threaten you, right? Like, there's that middle where you can be like, okay, here's sequencing is another one we offer or teach where it's like, cool. Like, I know you want to go and I just need you to put on your shoes first and then you can go. Like, first we wear shoes and then we go. Like, but there's a lot of choices for you in there that is not just the threats or the nothing, which is what we call permissiveness.
And I love the way, like, I've noticed you use the word and a lot instead of but. I think that's super.
I do.
A yes and, or a no and, or a this and I think
But if you use but, we were taught recently, if you use but, it removes everything else you just said.
I agree.
You know, I really want to give you freedom to do what you want to do. And so everything just erased. So, I said, I really want to give you freedoms of what you want to do. And because of that, I was hoping, so you can, and as a totally different feeling, but acts as everything you just said.
Yeah. And it's important to me that you stay safe out there so we don't end up in the ER tonight. You know?
I love your choices as well, because we've got five and the ones that are older ones make educated risk. I'd like to think that that's because we gave them safe options and they got to choose their path. And so then when other things are laid in front of them, maybe they can take that and option. I'd like to jump off of this bridge and still make it out of the water. But I do think that this type of parenting and this type of awareness to how we present things and the way in which they're not absolutes, they're almost presentations. They're options. There's as far as this or this. There's, like you said, respect and empathy. Just the kinds of things that they need to build these muscles of making decisions for themselves.
Yeah. And then I would probably guess that if you have young adults like that, then there was probably some level of compassionate discipline present too, which means when a kid makes a mistake, we're mentoring them to learn from the mistake, because especially for strong-willed kids, but for all kids, life is about learning from our mistakes. Like, there is no perfection. We're going to make mistakes. And the strong-willed kids are the doers of the world. They are the risk takers. And that is a gift, right? Like, of course, we have to keep them safe. We want to keep them safe. Like, there is fences that we build instead of using leashes. But as they go through life, if you have like a really solid, healthy, compassionate discipline toolkit set up that you use consistently, they learn that taking risk is a normal part of life, especially if you are blessed with that personality, and that making mistakes don't make you bad or broken or something to be ashamed of. And so then you have adults that grow up that are courageous enough to start companies or live a life against the grain, right? Or take a loan out so they can start a life-changing organization, whatever it may be. But the idea of like teaching a child to be a healthy risk taker is absolutely everything you said. And I think the compassionate discipline side too, because when the punishment is in there, kids learn to fear mistakes. A lot of people stop trying. It's easier to just not try. If there's any risk of failure, then there's so many years of like the neural pathway being built of like, that's danger, that's humiliation, that's shame, means you're an idiot, means you did something wrong, it means you messed up somebody else's life. And so that really freezes people. And so to have these kids be taught like, okay, this is just a mistake. Every mistake is an opportunity to learn. And tomorrow, I am not okay with you cutting like or whatever. Like, I keep going back to the foot, but I love compassionate discipline. I could speak forever on compassionate discipline.
Where can people learn more about what you're doing, Wendy? Because obviously a lot of our folks are very interested in this. They have strong-willed children. They're wanting to learn more. Like, where can people really dig deeper with you?
Yeah, come find me over on the website, freshstartfamilyonline.com. We have what we call a free quick start learning bundle. It'll get you like a free learning, like extensive PDF guide that'll teach you kind of my favorite four-step strategy to setting firm limits and following through with consistency, especially when it comes to strong-willed kids. And well, always strong-willed kids. It's like my specialty. What I teach helps families of all kinds. Like with you guys with five kids, like what you learned and what you would learn with me. Like, yes, it like is survival for families with strong-willed kids, but then the easygoing kids or the kids that struggle with different things, right? Like my second is very easygoing, but he struggles with like inadequacy a lot or like little tinges of anxiety, right? Like his self-confidence gets really shaken. Like those are all things we teach in our programs too. But the Quick Start Learning Bundle, you get that free guide and then you get invited to a free workshop with me where we'll really dig into the power struggles concepts that I teach. And again, that's freshstartfamilyonline.com, that Quick Start Learning Bundle. And then I love to hang out on Instagram. I'm at Fresh Start Wendy. I do a lot of free teaching over there. And then our podcast, which I think could be really cool to maybe have you guys on sometime, but it's called the Fresh Start Family Show, and my husband co-hosts with me on most of the episodes. And yeah, that's really fun.
That's great. Well, thank you so much for being here today and all of your wisdom. We could really chat all day long because I eat this stuff up. I love it. I love learning. I love reaffirming things that maybe I knew that I've forgotten or that I need to brush up on. So, and honestly, like, I think strong-willed kids are amazing. And I think we're lucky to have them. So thank you so much for bringing insight to this, Wendy, and for supporting families the way you do.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I love your guys' work too. And I love that you do so much as a couple. And you guys really inspire me too. So thanks for having me.
Thanks, Wendy. Hopefully to see you soon.
Thanks for joining the 18 Summers podcast and putting your family in priority position. Subscribe and leave a review and help other families just like you.